Diary, November 1899. Maitland, New South Wales, Australia. November 3rd to 14th, 1899. November 3rd, 1899. Maitland, New South Wales. We left Sunnyside, Currumbong, at 5:30 in the morning. It was cloudy and threatening to rain. It sprinkled a few drops, and then there was a soft little shower. The sun did not come out all day, and this made it pleasant for us, Sarah and myself. The road for the first part of the way was very hilly, until we had ascended the highest mountain range. Workmen were blasting the Rocky Mountain to get through this deepest mountain. Sarah went on ahead and inquired in regard to blasting. One blast was made, and they told us to hurry up before the next blast. We made quick work of getting through the pass above where the blasting was going on. This steepest ascent, Sarah and I both walked, but it was too heavy a tax on me. It seemed to hurt my heart. We had a very pleasant trip, and it did not commence raining in earnest until we entered East Maitland. Then, the rain came down steadily all day. We were taken to a house of 6 rooms, but only one room that was at all proper for me. The homes at West Maitland are built in the very earth, no elevation. Then the yard is full, and trees are close up to the house, making the premises sunless and damp and unhealthful. Maitland, New South Wales. Sabbath was cloudy, and showers came. There was a smaller company because of the threatening of rain. I spoke from John 14, verse 1 to 3, from Acts 1, verse 4, 11, and Acts 2, verse 1 to 7. Those present listened with earnest interest. There were a goodly number not of our faith. I tried to present before them the necessity of preparation in this time of probation, which the Lord had graciously granted, and could obtain for them only at the expense of his own life. Then how important that the very best of knowledge shall be obtained as to how to reach the mansions which Christ has gone to prepare for those who love him. They are to keep his commandments. They are to exemplify the life of Christ in their individual life, and be his witnesses that Christ Jesus was the Son of God, saying this from an experimental knowledge of God. The Lord would have them faithful and true in him, that he can through them make known his divine manifestations and the power and majesty of heaven. The Lord will reveal himself to his people who believe on and fear his name. He would have the transforming energies of the Holy Spirit be a living testimony to the world. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. The Lord works for the building up of characters that shall be symmetrical, after the divine pattern. Christ is knocking at the door of your hearts, saying, "If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come into him, and make my abode with him." Then open the heart to receive the heavenly guest. We must have practical, experimental godliness, for this is the spiritual strength of the church. Let the shepherd of the flock, whose work it is to feed the sheep, first talk with the Lord Jesus in prayer, in secret prayer, and in the pulpit. Let all trust in Jesus Christ as their efficiency. God cooperating with the human agency can give success. Maitland, New South Wales. I attended the 6 o'clock morning meeting. There was but a small company out. Several prayed, but so low we could not hear them. I presented my petition to the Lord, and he did hear. His Holy Spirit brought peace and comfort to my heart. Our brethren desired me to speak, and I did speak words of faith and tried to make all feel that we must not look on the dark side, but on the bright side. We must talk faith and encourage faith if we would have our faith confirmed. We must have that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. The transforming energies of the Holy Spirit will not come to persons who present the form of prayer, lip service, but do not take God at his word. We had a precious season. Several bore testimony and seemed to be strong for transformation of character. The inward working of the Spirit of God will be revealed in outward evidence. In the afternoon at 3 o'clock, the large tent was crowded, and there was a large company standing on the outside, as it was not possible to accommodate the people. A separate meeting was held daily in the tent appropriated for the children's meetings. When the crowd of children was gone, the vacant seats were immediately filled. Chairs were brought from the tents, and then the discourse which had been interrupted was continued. I spoke from 1 John 3, verse 1 to 5. I had perfect liberty, and I knew the Holy Spirit of God was sustaining me. For 1 week before coming to the meeting, I had been enfeebled with exhaustion and debility. The inability to sleep was wearying me. Nevertheless, Sarah McInterfer and I came with my own horse and carriage, 27 miles, Maitland, New South Wales. The weather is cloudy, and it is raining some, yet the appointments are the same. I have very much to be thankful for. The Lord gave me special strength, and the very best interest was manifested. I had not a moment's doubt but that the angel of the Lord stood by my side and gave me the words I should speak. I was imbued with the Spirit of God. Maitland, New South Wales. There is much to be done in this place. We have come just where there are members of the church who are wanting light. This work being done here is of the Lord. It is carried on without excitement, but upon a great gospel plan of salvation. This the community recognizes. It is not after the noise and parade of the Salvation Army, but it is after the special working of the Holy Spirit of God. Sarah McInterfer and I were riding out to see May Lacey White. We took her in the carriage to ride with us. The boys also were to go with us. We were some time waiting for May to do some shopping, when the clouds which had been threatening seemed to be very portentous, as if a heavy storm was coming. We deposited May and her boys at the cottage they were occupying, and hastened toward the cottage we were occupying. We had some way to go. We knew it was a question whether Jasper would out-travel the gathering, traveling clouds. The large drops began to fall as we drove into the gate. I was out of the phaeton with my wraps as fast as possible, and in the house. Sarah and Maggie were unharnessing the horse. Elder Starr and Maggie got the phaeton under the shed, and then a cyclone struck, and the rain and hail and wind, which was as a roaring tempest. I was alone in my room. Sarah was with the horse in the stable. The hail pelting down on the iron roof, the thunder rolling, the lightning flashing, made such a scene as I had not witnessed in this country before. Sarah had to remain under the shelter with the horse in the stable. Brother Starr and Maggie were with the carriage under the shelter of the carriage house. But in the minds of us all was, what has it done to the camp? The rain has poured in through a window partly open in the very top of the room. None of us can reach it. We can only look to God and trust in preserving care. The Lord will be our preserver. After the storm, word came that the people were in a sad condition at the camp. Tents were torn down, some old tents riddled to ribbons, and the big tent badly torn. The books in the book tent were somewhat damaged, and the typewriter smashed to pieces. It was a pitiful-looking scene. Now was the opportunity for the true friends to be revealed. Doors were thrown open, and invitations came from merchants and tradesmen. All cordially acted the Good Samaritan, and took the drowned-out people in and cared for them free. Thank the Lord for friends in time of need. Maitland, New South Wales. I thank the Lord for His great goodness and loving kindness to me. I close up the American Mail this morning. May the blessing of the Lord attend the words written is my prayer. My heart panteth after the living God. The mail off my hands, and now I must rest my brain. I see a great work to be done in Maitland. This field seems to open before us as the most favorable of any field we have entered in Australia. There are many churches of all orders, but the spiritual life and health seems to have departed from them. The ministers entertain their people with the African war. This people was presented to me as a people hungry for that spiritual food they did not receive. 1 year ago, companies were presented before me. There were large companies and small companies, and some of these companies seemed to be the most intelligent and earnest people. And I was informed by my teacher that the Lord loved all of these souls. Of some, he said, they shall be witnesses of the truth. They will receive light to impart light. I was shown small settlements and a poorer class of people, humble laborers, and they must have help. Some were trying to search the scriptures, but were perplexed and could not understand. And they were saying, "Come over and help us." Acts 16, verse 9. Maitland, New South Wales. I spoke in the morning to a little company upon faith, from the 15th chapter of John. Meeting was at 6 o'clock. I see we all must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The heavy slumber is upon the church members. There needs to be an awakening. The Lord help me to bear my testimony to encourage all our people to pray in faith. The promise of the Holy Spirit is not really sought after and is deemed to be a matter to be neglected for consideration at a more favorable opportunity. This impartation of the Holy Spirit is for the church who have had light, and if sought after, cutting away every other needless thing that hinders, it will flow in rich currents to the soul and will bring all other blessings in its train. Many good testimonies were born. But oh, how evident it is we are not receiving the falling of the Spirit of God it is our privilege to have. In the afternoon, I had words to speak to the people. Maitland, New South Wales. I attended the morning meeting. The Lord gave me words to speak to the people, words of encouragement in the exercise of faith. I spoke in the afternoon in regard to keeping the Sabbath. May the Lord bless the words spoken. I presented the subject from Exodus 31, verse 12 to 18. Maitland, New South Wales. There was a large attendance on Sunday. The tent was crowded to its uttermost capacity. All extra seats were brought in, and two good-sized tents were in use for the kindergarten children and the children from 10 years old and upward to 15. These meetings are made very interesting for the children and youth. I spoke 1 hour to a deeply interested audience. There was a wall of people outside the tent, and there was some confusion, but not enough to deserve attention. My subject was temperance. My soul was drawn out intensely to those who are in need of Christ and who are walking on in blindness. Maitland, New South Wales. I am not feeling as well as usual. My head troubles me. This is a rare thing. I was sick through the night. I do not get proper food to strengthen me. It seemed through the night that my life forces would give way. Sunday, I had a lengthened conversation in regard to the laborers in the field. How should they be distributed? Where were the fields most appropriate for our brethren ministers? This drew upon me tremendously, because many things upon this question had been laid out before me, and I felt the burden of the matter much, as I cannot express. Words are tame to give expression to the feelings. My heart and soul had felt with intensity the weakness of our dear brethren in some things. Hereditary and cultivated objectionable traits of character, woven into the work, were doing harm to their influence and the precious cause of God. Self was not under discipline to God. I felt intensely that the sanctification of the Holy Spirit of God through the truth was essential. Else the precious cause of truth would surely suffer from the defects of the workers. This was more wearing to me than all my public labor. I must speak things which cut me to the very soul. The dinner taken that day was not digested, and I was very sick Sunday night, so sick that through Monday I could do nothing. I was weak and trembling all day. Yet I must give counsel upon important matters in regard to adjusting the laborers to their burden of work in the interests of the school. And again, after the lengthy conversation with Brother Palmer, the talk with Brother Hickox in regard to important movements. Where should he locate? There was Lambton and Wallsend that must be worked, and Hamilton and surrounding suburbs. What shall we do with all these interests? Maitland, New South Wales. We are deciding to go to our home at Kooranbong today. We cannot get an early start. I wish to say some things to Brother Starr. I have thought it would be advisable to work East Maitland in our effort with West Maitland, but my mind is changed. Divide the forces, and there will be weakness. All the combined forces are needed to work in the one line in West Maitland to complete the work, that it shall not be weak. All need to learn as well as teach before they can carry through in Lambton and Wallsend. We all want knowledge of the Scriptures, and of how to impart that knowledge in a clear, connected manner. The words I have for my pen are, "Labor to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." In order to do this, there must be a close application of the mind. There must be no haphazard work in presenting the truth to the people. There is in West Maitland a strong Catholic element. It is in one sense where Satan's seat is, and the words in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 13, seem strong and applicable. We left in our carriage about 9 o'clock, but I was requested to speak to the ministers and workers before going to Kurimbong. This took 1 hour of precious time, and we went home in the heat of the day, yet we bore it all nicely, and I arrived home safely. My burden was the unity of the workers. Our success depends upon this.